I don't want you to leave this seminar just knowing the list of the seminars and their meanings. I want you to leave here with a practical idea. I want you to be able to recognize these topics when you will be reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or when you will be hearing the lectures in the morning in Srimad Bhagavatam lectures. So we will have a little kirtan before we start our session. Is that okay? We've seen this one.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Thank you.
Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and this may happen to many of you, I found it very difficult to relate. I couldn't understand exactly how this book was describing God in general. I found it a little bit difficult in the beginning. So many stories, including what are some extraordinary stories in the Bhagavatam that you wouldn't expect in a book that is speaking about God? Are there any stories like this in the Bhagavatam that you would not expect in that book? How many have read Srimad Bhagavatam here? At least some. You have read some of Srimad Bhagavatam? So do you remember any stories in Bhagavatam that you could not understand what this has to do with God? Yes or not? Yes? Which stories?
This pastime of King Yayati.
Yayati.
It's quite difficult to connect it with the...
Difficult to connect it with them. Okay. Any other?
Puranjan.
The story of Puranjan. Yes. Yes, the story of Puranjan. Any other? Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is a little bit directly connected. He was a demon. He was a demon. Okay. So we have devotees and demons. Yeah, it's not too far connected, this one, but any other?
The hellish planets.
The hellish planets. The hellish planets, yes.
King Pururava.
King Pururava. Yes, also difficult. Any other?
Shiva.
Shiva, yes. What is Shiva doing in a book about God? When we are always after the demigod worship. Yes. I remember the stories that I specifically could not digest was the story of Kashyapa Muni and Diti. I could not understand. Kashyapa Muni and Diti. I could not relate. What is this has to do in the Srimad Bhagavatam? So we need some light to understand how to connect all these stories. So these 10 topics are going to help us very much. Connect all the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam with Krishna, with the Absolute Truth. Because in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear that this book is about Satyam Param, the Absolute Truth, the ultimate truth. Everyone wants to know the truth, and that book is about that. Satyam Param Dhimahi. It is a meditation on the Absolute Truth. So, and Vyasadev has structured it in a very systematic way. And if we are not aware of the systematic way, we might not get maybe as much benefit. Or for sure we will have difficulty studying the book. So there are different ways to approach Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in general, has also given us another way through Dasamula, which is a more philosophical understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. But the 10 topics are very natural divisions of the different aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam, given by the speaker of the Bhagavatam himself, Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev Goswami explains the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, the last chapter of the second canto. Only 9 verses. In 9 verses, he gives just a short description. It's like the contents of the book. It's the contents of the book. So this seminar is meant to make you understand these 10 topics. And specifically meant to make you see how Krishna is manifest in the Srimad Bhagavatam through these divisions of 10 topics. Because we are not reading Bhagavatam as a newspaper just to get some information. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam, this is our process of deity worship, the Avaroha Panta, the descending path of Shabda Praman, that we are getting realization of Krishna through the horns of the ear. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that we can smell the aroma of the lotus feet of Krishna through the horns of the ear, as it is carried by the wind of the Vedic sound. The Vedic sound in the Shruti is like a wind. When the wind passes over some flowers, it carries the aroma. And when we come in contact with that fragrance, then we understand that somewhere nearby there is a flower. So in this way, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we are going to get impressions of Krishna. The sound is meant to be absorbed through the ears, and it is meant to be meditated upon in the heart. And from that sound, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, is an expansion of the holy name of the Lord. From the sound, so many impressions are going to come to us about Krishna. Impressions of his qualities, impressions of his beauty, impressions of his activities, and impressions of his dhamma. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to reveal the Lord. So hopefully, by understanding these 10 topics on Srimad Bhagavatam and how they are related to the central topic is Krishna. I have made a little drawing here in the form of a lotus to let you see that in these 10 topics, there is one which is central and which Shukadev Goswami called the Ashraya. Ashray in English means shelter. Krishna is known as the ultimate shelter, which means that everything is contained within him. That's one meaning of shelter. And another meaning is that we as individuals, we are searching for him only. We need a shelter. Right? In life daily, we are taking shelter of something or someone or the other. And the reason is that we are incomplete on our own. We cannot make it on our own. So we need to take shelter somewhere. So many people accept material shelters. Most people, and even us, we accept material shelters, such as family, material relationships, wealth. We take shelter of intoxicants. Many people take shelter of intoxicants. We take shelter of self gratification. Somehow hoping to be protected from all the dangers of the material world, which we are having difficulties to face. So much difficulties to face. So we, like the tortoise, you know, we withdraw our consciousness, basically. We withdraw our limbs and we hide under a shelter. While we are eating tons of ice cream and all kinds of nonsense things, we forget about all our anxieties. So we take shelter. So the shelter, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, is Sri Krishna. So whenever we read about Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are safe. We think, oh, yes, this book is about Krishna. And mostly stories about Krishna, where are they found in Srimad Bhagavatam? In the 10th canto. Mostly. Where else? It is the face of the Lord, yes. Anywhere else we find stories of Krishna? In the first canto, something is there. Yes, in the first canto, some pastimes are there. Although these are indirect descriptions of Krishna. In the third canto also, Uddhav is giving wonderful summary of all the pastimes of Krishna. So actually in the Bhagavatam, We hear about Krishna in the very beginning, first canto, and that too is not direct. This will not even be considered as an ashraya topic. It will be considered as Ishanukatha. Stories about Krishna, but not directly. In the 10th canto, the topic is Krishna. How he was born, how he appeared, how he grew, how he killed so many asuras, how he dealt with his devotees in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwarka, and elsewhere. So this is directly about Krishna. So basically this will happen in the 10th canto. But then, there are many other things in the Bhagavatam. So Sukadev Goswami has given a verse here. Atra sargo visargascha, then sthanam poshanam utayanam manvantaresha nukatha nirodha muktir asraya. There are 10 topics in Srimad Bhagavatam. One is called the ashraya, and all the other 9 are called ashrita, which means they are sheltered. Krishna is the shelter, and the other topics are sheltered. So these topics you see here, sarga. Anyone knows the meaning of sarga?
Creation.
Yes. And visarga? Sub-creation. So we'll be studying this in much more detail. Sarga is creation, or we could say the first phase of creation. Creation by Vishnu. Vishnu creates Mahavishnu and then Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. They create. And then the creation is handed over to Lord Brahma. So Visarga is the sub-creation or the creation of each universe by one Brahma. Then the third topic given by Shukadeva Goswami is sthana. Sthana, anyone knows about sthana? Planetary systems, yes. It's called planetary systems. We could also call it maintenance. In other words, Krishna creates. Then after that, he maintains. So he maintains in many different ways. We will study that. First of all, he maintains all the universes. Then within the universes, he maintains all the planetary systems. And then he provides in different ways for the maintenance of all the living entities within the universe. Through the system of sacrifice and the system of varnashram. So this will be described in a topic called sthana. So for example, we had, Prabhuji was saying, the hellish planets, where have they come from? So the hellish planets, the topic comes in course of the description of how Krishna maintains the universe. How he has set up so many planetary systems for varieties of living entities to enjoy or suffer in different ways. Then we have Poshana. Meaning of Poshana?
Protection.
Protection by the Lord. The Lord will protect. And specifically, who will he protect? His devotees. The Lord protects the devotees. And how he does that? In the most extraordinary ways. And what does he protect specifically in his devotees? His devotion, their devotion, yes. He protects their devotion. He leads them on the path of pure devotion. So it is said that this topic of Poshana, it's also called mercy, the mercy of the Lord. So it is said that this topic is present throughout Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, many times Srila Prabhupada tells us, it is explanation. It's an explanation of the internal potency of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is simply a manifestation. It has nothing to do with the material world. It does not describe materialistic life, although it does describe the material energy. But it describes the material energy in relationship to Krishna, not on its own as we know it in the material world. So, this mercy of the Lord is the internal potency of the Lord. And it is present throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. In all the different kathas, in all the philosophy, in all the prayers, there is the mercy of the Lord. In each and every shloka, there is the mercy of the Lord. Anyone who hears even one word, one shloka, one word of Srimad Bhagavatam, comes in contact with the Lord's internal potency, His mercy. Then we have Uti. Anyone know about Uti? What is Uti? The urge for creation. Yes, good. The urge for creation. And what is the urge for creation? What makes the creation happen? The modes? The time factor, the desires. Whose desire? The living entity's desires. Yes. Because of the living entity's selfish desires, they desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So because of this, the creation takes place. Otherwise, Krishna has no business himself manifesting the material world. Krishna personally, in his ultimate form as Bhagavan, he manifests the spiritual world, his own dham, and through the agency of Lord Balaram, he manifests the spiritual world. But when the living entities desire to explore their independent spirit, then Krishna allows that to happen, because Krishna is the shelter. He fulfills the desires. So when one wants to be independent, he fulfills that desire. So the totality of the desires of the living entities becomes the impetus for creation. So Uti, we will see, is of two kinds. There is the pious desires and the impious desires, which will give rise to karma and vikarma, the activities. So Uti is a description of the desires and subsequent activities of the living entities. This is where the story of Kashyap and Diti will fit. Material desires and how they lead the living entity to either higher destinations or lower destinations, and how they perpetuate actually the creation as far as the living entity is concerned. The desires perpetuate the incarnation in an endless number of material bodies. The next topic is Manvantara, which means actually Manu Antara, the changes of Manus, or the reign of the Manus. The Manus are the, or we could say, emperors of the universe. They look after the management of universal affairs at a very high level of setting, for example, they help the Lord setting the rules for the universe, the rules of dharma. And Manu especially comes to teach Sat Dharma, because to fulfill the pious and impious desires of the living entities, especially the pious desires, the Lord teaches dharma. Dharma, artha, kam, moksha, the system of gradual development of the living entity's consciousness through following the prescribed duties, religious duties, which are given in the Vedas. However, karma is not the ultimate activity in the world. The ultimate activity is to turn back our face towards Krishna and serve Him. It's to give up our self-centered mentality. So Manu comes to instruct us in Sat Dharma, which he does through the Dharma Shastras, through teachings, and through a systematic system of administration of the universe, through the saintly kings. So the Manvantara topic includes the reigns of the Manus and the saintly kings, who are going to help the citizens understand the ultimate path of success. Another topic in Srimad Bhagavatam is Ishanukata. Isha, we understand, is the Lord. And Anu means including his followers, Krishna and his devotees. Now this Isha here does not refer usually directly to Krishna. It refers to the Krishna avatars, Nishinga, Varaha, Matsya. So all of them, all the stories of the Leela avatars are covered under a topic called Ishanukata. And the stories of the Lord's devotees, such as Dhruva, story of Dhruva. Also included in that are the stories of that we read in the first canto, Parikshit Maharaj, and how he was saved by Krishna. This is the story of his devotion, how he was saved. So, the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are not always clear-cut, that one story is only one topic. Sometimes in one story, there is more than one topic. Like the story of Nishigadev. So in the story of Nishigadev, Nishigadev is Ishanukata. It is the Leela avatar story. But what topic could it be also? Poshana. Nishinga comes to protect Prahlad. So it is also a portion. Then we have Nirodha. Nirodha means destruction. Krishna creates, maintains, and he destroys. Three faces of the material world. So what we can understand so far is that all these topics, are they dealing with the spiritual world? Are all these topics dealing with the spiritual world? No. They are leading us, of course, but this is all related to Krishna, how he manifests in the material world. And the reason for that is the ashraya, that one will deal with Krishna's pastimes in this world, but it will also directly deal, they are non-different from the spiritual world. The ashraya will deal a lot with the spiritual world. So the other topics are presentations more related to Krishna, how he manifests in this world. Why is that? One reason is that we are so far from being capable of conceiving and relating with the transcendental world. You know, basically we don't see further than our nose. We are covered by the material energy. People always ask, show me God. So, we'll have a difficulty. Show me God. Very difficult. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is going to first make us understand how Krishna is the master of the material world and how he manifests within this world in a great variety of ways. It is very important for us because as devotees we are supposed to miss him. We miss him. So this is the first mercy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Instant association with Krishna. He is here. He is not far away. In Upanishad we study tad dure tad dvantike. He is very far away. But he is very near also. He is very far away for the non-devotees who do not understand that the Lord is a transcendental source of multifarious energies which are all inconceivable. For the Lord there is neither matter nor spirit. Prabhupada always told us that the Lord's transcendental energy is like electricity. And the electrician, who is the Lord, he knows how to produce cold and heat from the same energy. So similarly, Krishna is producing the material world and he is producing the spiritual world. And if one is trained properly, one will never be alone in this world. Because one will learn to see this world in a spiritual way. And this way we will learn to use this world for the service of Krishna. Nirodha is destruction, and this will be explained in different ways. There are many, four different aspects of destruction which we will study, which begin with the destruction of our own life. At every moment, we are changing. All our cells are transforming. This is a form of destruction. And we are dying after a few years. That is a form of destruction. The storm is coming outside. This is Nirodha. This is Nirodha. It is part of the program of destruction. It may happen today that so many things will be destroyed by the rain, the wind, the lightning. So this is Nirodha. There are devastations at different times in the universe. At the end of the life of Manus, at the end of the day of Brahma, and at the end of the universe when the Kala Chakra for the universe is completed and Mahavishnu is going to breathe in. But everything is destroyed. So this Nirodha is an energy of the Lord. Then another topic is Mukti. Mukti, liberation. The definition will be given in Srimad Bhagavatam of how we... what is exactly liberation? The end of our stay in the material world and return to the lotus feet of Krishna, return to our original identity and service to Him. Then the tenth topic is called Ashraya, the shelter, and that means direct discussions of Krishna, direct descriptions of the Lord, of the spiritual world, and so on. You will be getting a little booklet like this where you can read different things to be able to follow with this seminar. So the question comes to mind that why did Shukadev make it so complicated? Couldn't he just talk about Krishna? So we had a little understanding that this is an expansion. The Lord expands. We hear this all the time. The Lord expands from the spiritual world. He expands into Balaram. He duplicates himself into Balaram. And then Balaram expands into the Chaturvyuha. The Chaturvyuha expands into so many Narayan forms, and then from Mahashankarshan so many Narayan forms come, and Shankarshan also expands in Mahavishnu, and from Mahavishnu all the material world expands. So in the same way, this Ashraya expands in Srimad Bhagavatam into 10 topics. Srimad Bhagavatam has different ways to expand. When we read it, we see that the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmadyasya Yatondayaditaratasyatesvabhigyasra, this first verse contains the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that we will be studying also. So from the first verse, if we study the first verse, we find the whole Bhagavatam will expand from that. Srimad Bhagavatam also expands from the 6 questions which are asked by the sages of Naimisharanya in the beginning. They are asking 6 questions. And the whole Bhagavatam is just an answer to these 6 questions, fully covered. Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear, also expands from the Chatur Shloki. There are 4 verses in the second canto, 9th chapter, which were spoken by the Lord to Lord Brahma. So from these 4 verses, the whole Bhagavatam has been expanded by Lord Brahma and Narada Muni and Vyasadeva. They have expanded that into 18,000 shlokas or so. And similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam expands from the 10 topics. They expand from this shloka. So this shloka we will be singing every day. And hopefully, for those who do not know this shloka, by the end of the seminar, you will all be able to know this shloka. And not just know it, but when we will be singing it, you will be seeing the whole colorful picture of the 10 notes of Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse is Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.1, And in the next verse, Shukadev Goswami explains why he has expanded these 10 topics and how he will be describing them. So he says, Dashamasya Vishuddhartham Navanam Ihalakshanam Varnayanti Mahatmanaha Shrutenartena Cha Anjasa. So he says that Mahatmanaha, the Mahatmas, the great saintly persons, they describe Varnayanti. They describe. What do they describe? They describe the ashraya. They describe the param satya, the absolute truth. And how do they do that? He says, navanam iha lakshanam. They describe the 9 lakshanam or symptoms of the truth. They describe these 9 topics. What is their purpose in describing this? It is dashamasya vishuddhartham, to clarify the purpose of the 10th topic. So these 9 topics are going to clarify the 10th. They not only clarify what is the 10th topic, but they also point at it. They direct us to the 10th topic. They show us the way, this way, this way, this way. We are, as I said, now we are hearing the thunder, now forever, whenever you hear the thunder, immediately you should connect. Nirodha. Where is this coming from? This is Krishna. Krishna speaking. In fact, in the Bhagavatam it says, mega gambhiraya vacha, that when Krishna used to call the cows, his voice was deep like the voice of the rumbling clouds. Mega gambhiraya vacha namabhiraya vashma. He said he was calling each and every cow by name, and his voice was as deep as the thundering of the clouds. So this is the vision of those who study Srimad Bhagavatam. No more loneliness in this world. Everything is connected to Krishna. And it is not a mental exercise, but it is an instant contact with the presence of the Lord. In Ishopanishad, Prabhupada explains that the different levels of advancement in Krishna consciousness are simply different levels of perception of the presence of Krishna. He is here, but we do not perceive His presence. So Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to reveal the presence of Krishna, step by step. So to point out at the 10th topic, to bring us to the shelter, to bring us to understand why we should take shelter, to show us how to take shelter, to give us that shelter, these 9 topics are being described. And how the sages have described these 10 topics, he said, Shrutena, Arthena, and Anjasa, in 3 ways. These 10 topics are described in 3 ways in Srimad Bhagavatam. Or the Lord Himself, sorry, is described in 3 ways. 3 ways which are actually 2. Directly and indirectly. And this is instructed to us in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, that we should search for the truth both directly and indirectly. So, directly, how is the Lord directly described in the Bhagavatam? Shrutena. This Shruti refers to the prayers which are found in Srimad Bhagavatam. You know how it goes in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a lila. Always. There's a storyline in Srimad Bhagavatam. One lila after another. So we very happily read the lila. And then, suddenly, the lila stops and somebody starts praying. It says, and then Lord Brahma offered his prayers. And then Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and then Kunti Maharani, they offered their prayers. And unfortunately, many times we start counting the pages, no? How long this will last, my God. So devotional, these people in the Bhagavatam. Very devotional. Sometimes it's very long. Many, many verses of prayers. And we skip it. And we go to the end of the prayer and wow, the lila continues. Let's see what happens next. This is unfortunate. Because the prayers are direct descriptions of ashraya. In the prayers, always the devotee is addressing the Lord directly, oh my Lord. And they are explaining, oh, first it begins always with a praise. All the beauty of the Lord, all the qualities of the Lord, the form of the Lord, right? These are the prayers. First there is a praise. And then they explain, they give their own, usually their own state of mind. What they want, what they are about. And then in the end, they request something. Give me, give me, give me. They request something. So, the Shruti, by Shruti, or by prayers, the Ashraya is directly discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And we should become very fond of the prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam. They are described as jewels. Srimad Bhagavatam is described as a river, like Ganga. Srimad Bhagavatam is the river Ganga, flowing through the material world for our purification. And it is, as we know, Ganga means it is directly the Lord, it's directly in touch with the Lord. So, within the river of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are fishes and there are pebbles, beautiful jewels. So the fishes are the pastimes of the Lord. The pastimes of the Lord are like fish and they are woven, they travel throughout the Bhagavatam, here, there, all the pastimes of the Lord. They are enjoying. And then the pebbles, which are considered to be Chintamani pebbles or diamond pebbles, very valuable pebbles. What they are the prayers of the pure devotees. So, when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we should be looking for that only. So another way that the Lord is described directly is called Anjasa. By Anjasa, it means by statements, which are more like philosophical statements. Some great devotees, they speak about the Lord in the Bhagavatam. They are not praying, they are teaching about the Lord. They are speaking. The Lord is like this, He's like that, He's like this, He's like that. So they make some statements. So these are different ways that are directly describing the Lord. And then the third way that Srimad Bhagavatam explains the Lord is by artha. Artha means meaning. The meaning, which means that through stories, through many, many stories, in the stories we should not only see the superficial aspect of the story. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest, oh my God, he was a small child. We should not just read that, but behind the story there is an artha, there is a meaning, there is a purport. So this purport of the stories, indirectly they are describing the Lord. Indirectly. They are leading us to Him in an indirect way. So this is how, in these three ways, Bhagavatam is going to be showing us the Lord. Any questions so far? This was a brief overview of the topics. We will be opening. These are like petals of a lotus. So we'll be opening each of the petals. Any questions so far? Yes, Pranish Bhakti.
So you mentioned that the prayers, the devotees, they recite the prayers, they relate to the ashray
tattva. Yeah.
Topic.
Yeah.
Sometimes the prayers may be for the incarnation of the Lord. Do they relate to Shanti Tattva or do they relate to the ashray?
No, in general they are describing the Lord. They are directly describing the Lord. Even if it's an incarnation of the Lord, usually, because all the incarnations, they are manifestations of the Lord, and they carry His qualities, specific qualities, different qualities. And usually there will be a lot of descriptions of the transcendental nature of the Lord. So that transcendental nature, that is the ashraya. Any other question? Yes?
Srimad Bhagavatam covers the 10 subjects. I was searching out for the subject that deals with devils and...
Deals with?
Devils. Like how in Christianity you have devil and...
Yeah.
So there is nothing in Srimad Bhagavatam which... or anywhere in the scriptures which tells us about devils.
Srimad Bhagavatam does not tell us about devils? Yes? Devils in Srimad Bhagavatam are called demons.
But they are also like
Hiranyakashipu.
They
are
also basically devotees of God.
No, Hiranyakashipu was not a devotee.
They were the two gatekeepers, you know, initially.
Ah, okay, but he comes. Alright. Originally they are devotees. But when they came here, they forgot. Hiranyakashipu became completely covered and completely forgot his original nature as a devotee. And he manifested all the qualities of the demoniac personality.
If there is God, is there Satan?
Actually, yes, we have the concept of good and bad is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Satan exactly, we don't exactly a personality that is eternally against the Lord and can practically overwhelm the Lord. That does not exist. In the Vedic concept, the Lord is never overshadowed by anyone. He is the, it's called Asammurdhva. Asammurdhva means that no one is equal to God and no one is above God. But the living entities, the individual souls, they have the propensity to misuse their independence, and when they do that, it is like turning against him, because they become like competitors. However, it is understood that the size, the potency of the living entities is very minute and can never be compared to the totality of existence, which is manifested by the Lord. He is the totality. So, but the demoniac nature is definitely there, and it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only here in Hiranyakashipu, we see from the very beginning, for example, we have Ashwatthama. Right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, we see that Ashwatthama is running. He killed the children who were sleeping. And now he is ready to kill a woman who is pregnant, because he wants to kill the embryo that's inside. So this is the demonic mentality. And that will be, Krishna killed so many demons. So the fight against the power, the evil, the power of evil and the power of the Lord is very much described in Srimad Bhagavatam. This comes in this uti, material desires. Material desire means that material desires become demoniac when they when we completely deny recognizing the authority of the Lord and engage in trying to become happy in this world by any means, and in this way neglecting the welfare of other people and our own. Demons, it's not that the devotees don't enjoy, devotees also enjoy, but they enjoy, if they are just pious people, they enjoy, but they enjoy in a way that does not really disturb others too much. But the demons, they are ready to kill others to get their own enjoyment. Is that okay? So the forces of evil we are going to see. We are going to see very much in Srimad Bhagavatam. How people become overwhelmed and end up committing sinful activities due to these forces, which are called forces of evil. It is the rebellious spirit against Krishna. Anyone else? So I'll give you some further overview of what we will be doing in this course. We will be opening up and understanding the 10 topics more. These 10 topics, we will be looking at them from different angles. Today I just gave an overview. We will be looking at how Shukadev Goswami describes these 10 topics. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, these 10 topics are described twice, in the second canto and in the 12th canto. In the second canto by Shukadev, and in the 12th canto, wherein Sutta Goswami gives a kind of overview of all what has been discussed, he concludes saying that thus we have discussed 10 topics. And then he lists the 10 topics, and lo and behold, they are not the same. So, we will be looking at the 10 topics from the angle of Sutta Goswami, and how they are not the same, but at the same time, they are very much the same. So we will learn how to reconcile these 10 topics. These 10 topics have been explained by Jiva Goswami in the Tattva Sandarbha. So we will also be taking information from the Tattva Sandarbha to understand this further. These topics have also been discussed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we will also look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita just to get a good grasp on that. We will learn to see these topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam by studying prayers, statements, leelas. We will study how they are related to the ashraya in specific ways. We are going to see who is the ashraya. People have different ideas of who is this ashraya. So who is the ashraya? We will discuss this. Is the living entity himself equal to the Lord? And is he the shelter? This we will discuss. In discussing all of this, we will also speak about Srimad Bhagavatam, where the topics are found in the different cantos, and how Srimad Bhagavatam is a Mahapuran, because it has 10 topics. Regular Puranas only have 5 topics, so we will be studying that as well. And we will also be glorifying the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. That will be done in the last session of our course. So I will be stopping here for today. This was just a brief overview. For tomorrow, it will be very nice if you do some reading. Some photocopies there will come, right? We'll get them tomorrow. Those of you who have access to Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. So for tomorrow you can read Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, tenth chapter, and verses 1 to 9. With the purports. And if you don't have enough time, you at least read verse 1, 2, and 3. 1 and 2 we began covering today, and 3 we will be covering tomorrow. Thank you very much. So tomorrow, what time the seminar? Today I was told that people would not make it by 7, but today everyone was here?
50%.
So tomorrow what time should we start? 7? Yes? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.